it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on The Grave Talks, Fighting Darkness, a conversation with Bishop Plato Angelakis and Sister Kia. The world is faced with many problems as a whole. On an individual level, many are suffering from the state of the world and the relationships that are under more stress than ever before. At times, the stress and feeling that some of those relationships may not only be unhealthy, but possibly evil. This has led many to feeling hopeless, falling into deep depressions, and at times continues the cycle of negativity. There are beacons of light in this world, beacons who want to bring a light to the very dark. Today, we discuss what Bishop Plato Angelakis and Sister Kia Lynn Francis are doing to help bring that light to the lives they touch. Plato and Sister Kia Lynn Francis joining us on today's episode. Thank you guys for being here, and a good time to be here and a good time to talk about what you guys do, getting rid of evil in our world, because my goodness, I do a true crime show as well as these paranormal shows. And I am baffled every single time I sit down during the week to put those shows together by the level, it seems, of evil that is out there today. I mean, when I think back to even 20, 30 years ago, everyone knows the name Jeffrey Dahmer, for example, not just because it's a Netflix series now, but even if you were younger and you didn't watch Netflix, you probably heard about someone like that. Mm-hmm. Or others, Ed Gein, Ted Bundy. There's always been these figures that were out there, but they were rare. They were few and far between. Now, I swear, when I read some of these stories of what's going on out there, there's new ones every other week in all these different cities around the country, but it all gets kind of whitewashed because there's so much of it to keep up with. It really does feel like there is more evil out there in this world, and I think it goes beyond just that we have a 24-hour news cycle and devices in our hands to tell us about it. What are your thoughts?
I definitely, there's an increase in evil. I think a lot of it is being fed by just our normal society. There are the things that are going on, the pandemic, the inflation rates are going on. People are worried about the finances. They're worried about what's going on with their children. They're worried about the health. They're worried about and also the young people. There's a lot of increase in suicide. We know that already statistically. There is the lack of hope. I'm never going to own a home. I'm never going to be able to afford a home. There's no future. I don't know. Why go to school? Mm-hmm. Why get a degree? So all these things feed. They're all negative, right? So, like, I mean, evil is really just a negative, right? It's a negative energy. It's a, you know, everybody's polarized. It's just this negative attitude. Like, I got it. You know, I can't pay my bills. I eat or I pay for my heat. There's the family breakups. Children are not coping. There's a lot of issues. A lot of suicides through the pandemic. Just a lack of hope. The lack of some vision. The lack of there's no future for me. Why go to school? Why get married? Why have children? Like, this is all negative in a sense that that's just feeds this cycle. So that's what evil is. It's just if we all had a different attitude, we're all more hopeful and more positive, helping each other. We live in a me sort of environment, and it's all about whatever I know. It's all what I can do for myself. I'm mm-hmm. not to help anybody. So, you know, when you put all that together, you're basically just making a stew, a big pot of evil. It's just, that's what it is. We've created that. We're feeding this. We're feeding that sort of that normality now, being normal. And we're talking about what's the next pandemic, what's the next problem. We're waiting for the economy to collapse. We're waiting for, Am I going to have a job next year? Am I, you know, like it's, those things are happening. And should I get married? Should I put this off? Should I go for a trip? Should I travel? Should I start traveling? So maybe I shouldn't travel. Maybe the pandemic is not over yet. So all these things will feed into what's going and into what, you know, and then of course, what culminates from that is an evil. So it's backlash of you know, of like, I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm number one kind of thing. And we've lost sight of all, like what really, you know, helping each other, helping our neighbor, you know, and you know, pulling each other up and sort of elevating each other and helping each other. That's all gone. That's all gone. And so that's the increase. And that's all I can say about that. Really, it's unless people change their attitudes and then start creating some hope and some, and you know, and you know, get elected officials in a government that will instill that kind of like hope and say, okay, we're gonna change this. We're gonna change this around. We're gonna find, you know, the answers to these problems. We're gonna help people. Then people will start to feel better. But I think this has all been prophesized. I think this is just happening. It's the end times. We're talking about a meteor coming. I mean, 2029, Apophis is coming.
I haven't heard
NASA
of that one
confirmed
yet.
It. It's all over. Well, NASA fairly confirmed it. There's an actual asteroid. They named it Apophis. It's coming on April the 13th, Friday the 13th. It's going to be a near miss or a real close, so close it's going to knock satellites out of our orbit.
Oh, this will be fun.
Between the moon and the Earth.
Great.
Yeah, so apparently it's coming. And it's confirmed by NASA. They don't know if it's going to hit. They don't know if it's going to be a near miss. I'm hearing two sides of the story. There's a lot of, you know, in the news, it's a lot of fear-mongering, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, so, you know, you think, oh, there's a meteor coming in 5 years. So, wow, should I bother going to school? Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, bother getting my degree and getting in debt? Like, I mean, so, like, that's kind of the attitude people have. Like, well, this is all happening. And, like, well, maybe I'll just sit back and kind of wait, you know, and see what happens. Or maybe I should start stocking up supplies, you know.
Yeah.
The shelves are starting to empty. They were, you know, the supply chains has been disrupted. You, I mean, I go to the supermarket and see that there's not a lot of certain things. There's definitely a depletion of things. So you know, we start thinking about, well, maybe I should stock up. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should, you know, maybe I shouldn't buy that refrigerator. I shouldn't buy that home. I shouldn't buy that because I don't want to get myself into debt. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So all this fear mongering and the news and all that, you know, if you put it all together, what do you get? You get this sort of negative.
Yeah,
and we call it evil, but it's negative.
It's a stew of hopelessness that we seem to be simmering in right now, and it's an interesting thing to kind of watch. What I'm wondering about this, and in no way am I trying to get political or anything like that, but are there people behind the scenes pulling the levers of our fear when it really is not truly needed, but it's more so advantageous for them and a certain group of society, a very small group of society, to have everyone living in that sort of fear-mongered world versus not? I don't really know why, because I would think society would be better for all if everyone is prospering and making money and doing well. Then you need people to make money if you're in the higher up area.
Yeah.
You don't need them all dead or broke. So I try to understand the logistics of all of this, but it does feel to me sometimes, especially exiting the pandemic, after everything that they had said to us with the pandemic, we must do this, we must do that. And for a while, I was playing along, thinking, okay, they know what they're talking about. And then eventually you look back and go, there was a lot of misinformation going on here. There's really no other way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we knew it or not, or somebody didn't know or not, we were just kind of, you know, people playing the telephone game, saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. And then you get mad at each other when somebody's not doing this or that. But then you walk away from it even further.
Right.
And then you start seeing other things like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a monkeypox outbreak. And it's like, well, that didn't quite scare everybody well enough. So asteroid,
I
guess.
Called that an interview three years ago.
Yeah.
They asked me about what my thoughts were on COVID. And I said, there's a pox coming. I actually said, there's a pox coming. I said that you won't be able to hide because it'll be on your face too and stuff. So yeah, monkeypox.
But is something like that truly, you know, I mean, obviously it exists. I certainly recognize that. It affects a very small group of the population at this moment in time. It doesn't seem to be anywhere nearly transmittable like COVID or anything was. So, yes, these things exist, but we seem to amp these things up, or our media does, or whoever is telling the anchors in those chairs, here's our stories today. And then, you know, talk about it. We have to get the attention. They know how to spin things to make things, to get views, essentially. Are we creating far more torment for ourselves, or is someone back there again behind the curtain trying to create more torment for society as a whole when there really isn't the big boogeyman behind the that's coming for us? But we're going to tell everybody
I think, not to be political, but I'm more apt to believe that there are a small group of people that are pulling the strings. I think it's you know, fear controls people, and it drives the economy, that drives behavior. So, you know, there is somebody in the background. They do have to talk about population control. The smaller the population, the easier to control. Mm-hmm. They're less rebellious. Certainly, wars and stuff like that, and the fear of war creates, you know, the economy. It drives things. It, you know, to build things and to create stuff, and it certainly, it controls. I mean, you know, you create a pandemic. Like, was COVID-19 as bad as what they said it was? Or, I mean, it certainly was an impact. I mean, I'm being a nurse. I've been affected by it, and economically and socially, I've been affected because I get sick. I can't go to work. I couldn't pull facilities. It certainly had an impact, and financially, I was quite the hardship. But to what extent? Like, so the people who are making the immunizations for that, you know, the vaccines, are they making, how much money they make from that? Governments, and then, you know, they put all this money out to support people, then, and at the end, they all have to pay tax on it. So I really don't know what it's definitely, I think there's something that's driving it, because I think it's just more of a control, because people who do have money can benefit from economic collapse. You know, the economy was to collapse today. People who have money can buy low, obviously, you know, and because they said there were more millionaires made during the pandemic than before the pandemic, because there are people who had money could benefit from that and could use, could invest. When the economy was collapsing, people were able to jump in markets, right? And the houses, and the houses were, I mean, my house went up in value, in a matter of months, it went up hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's no way the house was worth that. Sure. But we inflated the house market, and people who had money benefited from that. And, people who had homes, right, benefited.
And but
those who don't have money.
Yeah, then you're stuck. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to look at, because, you know, anyone, I don't blame, you know, advantageous business people who may, you know, just have felt like, hey, this is a way I have a little money. I can make some money here. I'm going to do it. I don't consider those evil people. They found a way to do the best with what they had at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. But when you go even further, I guess kind of what I'm getting to is the man behind the curtain, is the people who are saying, okay, this is kind of what we're going to be pushing for our news on this side and that side. And we're, you know, and it's not even news directors. It's not news anchors. It's not the people who are working at these places, because I know a lot of people. They're just normal human beings that are covering stories that they're told to cover. But there's a man behind those curtains. Yeah. There's someone that's pushing it. Are those people? I mean, I don't even know who these people are, because I think it even goes beyond like your Rupert Murdochs and all of that. And you could say that there's a good argument that someone like Rupert Murdoch is evil. But I think it goes even beyond the public figureheads. Is there someone or a group of people back behind the scenes literally doing the devil's work and intentionally doing it? I'm talking... I guess, you know, what you'd see in the movies where you have, you know, there's the calf skull or whatever, the goat skull, and they're literally worshiping the devil or doing some sort of ritualistic thing to control. And then it all kind of gets pushed out and we're none the wiser. We're not looking at some sort of satanic thing that's being pushed out on us, but the consequences and the power that some of these people seem to have certainly is far more reaching than what a normal human being you would think would have.
I just think that there's definitely a groups of people that are out there that have been out there for quite some time that they have an agenda of trying to control things. It's all about control, and it's to benefit them in regards to, it's all about monetary things. There's certainly groups out there that are not, I would say not kosher, they're somewhat evil, certainly. Mm-hmm. They're far reaching than normal governments, obviously, and they control it, or at least they manipulate circumstances. I'll go so far as to give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt and say, if there's a pandemic, that's blown out of the water a little bit, or if there's an economy, or they're worried about the economy collapse, and they'll blow it. They'll do more fear mongering to control people's behavior, because and then all of a sudden everybody's panic buying, or everybody's doing this, or whatnot. So I think there is. It's not a conspiracy. It's hard to prove, certainly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I think the evidence is there that there is definitely higher up groups in the upper entourage, that are sort of controlling governments and situations and wars and things like that. Because wars actually make money. I believe it or not. They create wars, and when the states goes to a war, mm-hmm. it makes money. They buy arms and things. So, everything has a monetary sort of benefit. So, certainly this pandemic costs governments fortune, which we as taxpayers are going to have to pay for. They had to get vaccines, the rollout, and this and that, the mandates, controlling people, buying.
It makes you wonder just, how far back, is this all really kind of a source of evil that is, influencing all of these things? Kind of getting off of that area. What I'm interested in talking about here today, quite a few things, but you, Bishop Plato, there's a lot that's going on in your world in terms of being out there, helping people, doing exorcisms and things of that nature. But I know you, as you self describe them, you handle things a little bit different, and you're getting more people involved in this world to kind of combat some of it in any way, shape, or form that you can. Why don't you enlighten the audience? I know a lot of people know your name, but for those that don't know the details, you handle this a little bit different than what others may do in terms of handling exorcisms and cases such as that.
Just to add to that, I've been looking at exorcisms more than just demonic. Mm-hmm. I've heard of stories of people being sort of influenced by aliens and things, and whether aliens are demonic in themselves, I don't know, but there's people who said I've seen like aliens sort of in infiltrating people and sort of controlling people for their whatever agenda that they may have, whether it's good or evil. I think there's a lot to be said about that as well. So as things evolve, as we're starting to sort of evolve as people, as a human species, we're starting to see that there's other forces in the universe that are starting to have their play on us. And so it isn't necessarily demonic. It also could be, it could be aliens. It could be many other things. It could be interdimensional things. It could be, as we start to sort of become, as we head towards ascension, that's what people would call it. I'm starting to look into some of these things. But to me, it's all autism. I'm trying to liberate people from all these things. So it's not just demonic. It could be, anything to do with aliens for some people are saying, "Oh, I'm being infiltrated," because aliens have a different. When you look at people, they sometimes are different in so far as a demonic presence is trying to destroy you personally, maybe your family around you, or perhaps an alien presence, which I've been discussing with many other people, is they're there for the long term to sort of control your behavior to manifest some kind of outcome in the long term. Maybe someone who's a government official or someone who's something who has some power is being controlled by a higher force, higher entity, to have an outcome in a long term to destroy you personally or your spirituality, but to control a behavior. So I don't even look at it more as demonic anymore. I go and look at it as, this person is asking for help. I'm going to go in and I'm going to try to liberate them. Get their free will back is really what we're trying to do. So what do? I utilize, unlike mainstream churches, churches that the Vatican, who just has an exorcist that goes in, maybe two, maybe a doctor involved or whatever. They do some, the usual rituals, investigative work and whatnot to see whether it's mental health compared to some demonic presence. I actually go and utilize gifts. People have these wonderful gifts. As I mentioned before, it's written in Revelation. It says the people in the end times, which I do believe we are, will possess the ability to be prophetic and have visions and see, have dreams, and all these things. Forgive me.
Sure. No. Go ahead.
And so I think we can't just blow that away. We have to say, okay, well, Revelation says that in the end times, there's a reason why God has provided these people with these particular gifts. So I utilize them, and I have seen great outcomes. I've had multiple people. They do Reiki. Sister Kia is a master Reiki.
Master of the higher levels.
So I use that as a means to as a post-exorcism to help people sort of recover. There's people who use crystals. They use their light workers. There are a lot of people who are sensitive. I'll send them in just to find out what's going on in the home. Is it, what's the entity? How did they get there? Who brought it in? Why is it attached here? What have they been doing that's wrong? What have they not been doing that they should be doing? And so all these things will come out with all these people who have all these wonderful gifts. All this information comes out. And it's wonderful. Then I can sit back and look at the team and say, okay, what's our game plan? And then we approach it from that perspective. And we're very successful. And the outcomes are great. So I've had a lot of people saying this is like, I never have to go twice. I very rarely have to go twice to a place. Because we go in there with the intention of getting it out right away.
And I got a lot of questions I want to unpack there. But before we kind of get to some of that, you were talking about the end times, about the Bible saying that there are people out there with gifts and that they, you know, will use them and such. There's other places. I mean, I grew up in a Lutheran church, and it was taught, you know, don't mess with psychics. Don't talk to clairvoyants. It's all evil. It's all bad. It's all this or that. Enlighten me and the audience on that as to how we were told wrong, essentially, is as easy as it can be put.
Well, I think the book of Ephesians says not to dabble in the occult and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then it also goes on, as you go through the book of Ephesians, as it goes on, it says, but if you're going to do this, it says, know that you're not dealing with flesh and blood. You're dealing with spiritual. So the game needs to play differently. The rules are not the same when you deal with blood and flesh. And then it goes on to say, and if you're going to do that, you know, you're going to knock on Satan's door, for example, or you're going to knock on the spirit world, then have the protections, the head of salvation, the girth of, you know, it goes through all the protections, right? All, you know, the rules. The rules are right there. It's like, it's actually a manual. Mm-hmm. If the book of Ephesians is a manual. It says, first of all, don't dabble. But if you're going to dabble, know what you're dealing with, which is basically spiritual and not physical, and know that you better be protected. And these are the things that goes through the various protections. So I mean, I think it's all about the intent. You know, it's the intent. I know people who are psychics and they do readings and they make money, but they don't, they're single moms and they're supporting their families. You know, I mean, you know, what's wrong with that, right? I mean, again, it's all what are you doing with that gift? Are you conjuring things up for personal gain, or are you there to help people with that gift? And I think that's where the distinction needs to be made. You know, I mean, Sister Kia's got wonderful gifts, but she doesn't go out there to do it for herself gain. She's there to help people. There's a difference, right? So, you know, if, you know, we're liberating people who are possessed, and then, you know, of course it says, you know, once a demon leaves or is exorcised, it will return back to its home, like the person, and if it's found empty, it will actually repossess the person and bring seven worse demons than itself. And that's because we have to fill the empty space with something. That was the, if you exercise somebody, you've got to fill the empty space with something, or it will return. So this is where the Reiki comes in, where, you know, someone can get some Reiki work done. This is where Sister Kia comes in and does her thing, you know, again, she could talk more about that because that's her bag.
Let's touch on that for a little bit, where you do get something out of a person, something that is very dark, something that's been troubling them, that is beyond their control. What are you doing? Tell me about the Reiki. How are you basically refilling that person with something positive. So there's not the for rent sign for the demonic.
It's actually caused... It's actually one of the terms used to describe Reiki is the Christ light, actually. Mm-hmm. It's high vibrational energy, high frequency, versus where something is demonic or, you know, those are low level energies, depending on what faith you subscribe to. So by removing the low end energy, I go ahead afterwards and do like Reiki. I'll do a whole body adjustment and use that high vibrational energy to try and fill them up with something positive. And a lot of people that have actually had exorcisms go on to become, you know, part of the Reiki community. I also treat everybody that's been in the house because obviously they've suffered emotional traumas from watching a loved one go through that, and just kind of set them up in that way. And excuse me, I'm like with my Reiki lineage, Dr. Asui started it, I believe, about 122 years ago, or 102 rather. And then he taught Mrs. Takata, and then she taught in North America. And between Dr. Asui and myself, there's maybe 27 masters. So my lineage is really good, and it's not diluted, and it's not like an internet course for a weekend that's like, mm-hmm. make you a master. I study under an ascended master, and that's the highest level that you can reach. And I'm pretty close to being a grandmaster, just how she splits her courses, that I'm a master of higher levels. So I'm higher than a Reiki master right now. And I'm a teacher as well, although I choose not to teach usually. It's just, you know, it's because I'm not charging people for stuff.
Sure, you're helping people.
You know, it's all about helping.
Explain to me more about what that is all about. When you're helping someone heal through Reiki, what exactly are you doing?
So there are chakras in the body, and I call them like little battery sensors, like where your batteries charge up different parts of your body. Mm-hmm. And so the main chakras that we would work on would be like your crown chakra, your third eye, which, you know, it's forehead, your throat, your heart, adrenal glands. You do grounding exercises as well to ground the energy out. And as a master or whatever, it's up to you to decide what symbols to use and activate on the person, which will best benefit them. And some of the, you know, some of the easiest things that you learn kind of in level one work fantastic for healing in terms of, regardless how many more symbols I've learned and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I go back to like some of the basics at times, but making sure that people are well grounded too. And, they seem to enjoy it. Usually people fall asleep. It switches the energy in the room completely. Like Plato fell asleep on the stairs when I was doing it. I guess the room just got so calm. And I was like, please don't fall down the stairs head first.
I think we all started falling asleep when she was working on somebody. And I'm going, oh, my God. I was like, okay. There's definitely an energy shift there. You know it. You feel it.
Like I've done people they've had chronic pain in a certain area. And I've treated that area. And like I have a girlfriend that, excuse me, she wears braces for carpal tunnel syndrome. And I treated her, and I didn't know she had this. She'd never told me, mm-hmm. but I was just drawn to work on that area of her body between, you know, her elbow and her fingertips. And she ended up not needing to wear her braces for like 3 months kind of thing. And she said, and she slept like a baby. Usually would have to take a sleeping pill, but slept like a baby the night that it was done. And so it's kind of like recharging those batteries in the chakras and making sure they're all in alignment. And, I can feel attachments when I touch people, but I can also, it's funny, you have to be careful if you have a pacemaker because it is energy work. So, you know, that's one of the questions when we do health history is, do you have cardiac issues or whatever? because physically, a lot of times if I'm working on the heart chakra, it'll speed up the heart rate. But I've had people with like muscle twitching as if they had a TENS machine on them mm-hmm. when it was being applied. I've used it on my son and he's just like, why are your hands so hot? And I'm like, they're not. That's the download mm-hmm. of energy that you're getting. And then he touched my hands and he's like, yeah, they're not hot. I said, no, that's your energy that you're receiving. It's not actually my hands that are the heat source. You know, I'm just a conduit, basically. And the way I look at it is anything that I can do that's going to help people is a gift from God. So, you know, that's just how I look at it. And being, you know, a mystic in the church, like I'm very proud of that because there's not too many mystics registered by the church. Like, it would be, you know, if you went to a whole bunch of different churches and asked, do you have a mystic here? Chances are they would say no. So I'm proud of that. And I can help with that. I can read people, you know, say someone's keeping something from you that's really important. You know, you're going to have to get that out of them.
The mystic part is really important that we, like there's three, like myself included, there's two other bishops that we recognize Sister Kia as being a mystic, not because we just want to make her one, it's because she's proven to actually have the gifts. And that's where it comes down to, it has to be a proven thing. Even in the old churches back in the day, you know, hundreds of years ago, to be a saint or a Catholic mystic, they were saints who were mystic, mm-hmm. it was recognized and it was acknowledged at the time that, you know, the gifts that they had were valid. They actually produced fruit. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, let's make you a mystic because we feel like it. You have to actually prove that the gift that you have is actually it's actually doing something. You know, you actually, you know, you're not just saying, well, I'm I have this gift, but then you haven't proved that you can do anything with it. So it's a question of actually saying, well, you know, I'm a mystic and I'm doing Reiki, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm moving the energy, I've made a difference. It's been proving on many times and on many levels, and once we all recognize it and acknowledge it, then we all sign off on it that she's actually a mystic. She has the true gift. So it's not just, you know, making someone a mystic. We have to, it has to be proven. It has to be like, you know, you have to, like, you know, for example, in the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, you know, you're not a saint unless you have three miracles. So unless you have your three miracles, you're not a saint. So it has to be proven before we sign off and say, okay, well, this person actually is what we think that this person is. Mm-hmm. So there's different gifts out there, and you know, I use a lot of people. I try to use the best of the best. There's a sister, Lucy, who's out in the Windsor area, Detroit area, and she just came on board as a sister. She does some Reiki, but not obviously at the extent that or the level that Sister Kia does. But she's more into the ufology, more of a more different type of energy sort of work, and using light work and things like that, and crystals. So there's again different gifts, but it's nice because when I use various people to do gifts, who have gifts to go in, I'll say, okay, you three, for example, three people with gifts, you three go through the house on your own, don't talk to each other. That's sort of the approach. I don't know if you want to talk about. Well, the approach I use, that's one of it. Go in, I kind of sit back, you know, I'm just going to sit back and, you know, and don't say nothing. I send, say, three or four of them in that have various gifts at different levels and variations. They will go through the house as they see fit, pick up what they pick up. Then they come back and they share individually what they picked up. And I get a lot of similarities, a lot of various things. And then we know what we're dealing with. A lot of times we pick up stuff that we didn't even realize. And then, as a team, we decide what's the best approach and what's the game plan. And then that's how we should concentrate on that particular room. It's in that room. It was the son who brought it in. Now it's attached to the mother, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so we know exactly where to go, what to do. And so we put all our concentration on that one thing, and we're very successful. And the clients are happy, and the outcomes are always positive. But it's just sitting back and just watching them do their thing. I watch Kia do her thing. I watch the other sensitives do their thing. And then they come back, and they all come back with very similar,
but sometimes some variations. But it's nice having that variety. But I'm going to tell you, if I went in by myself, just me, myself, maybe another exorcist together, it would take me days and weeks of going in there to figure out what is going on. And I may be trying to bless a certain room where the entity has gone to a different room, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it really helps to have people who have that kind of insight that I don't have that can tell me, okay, it's right there. There is where it is. That's our concentration point. We're going to focus on that. Yeah. And that's why we're successful.
It's almost
It was funny. One case that we did with NESPAR, I was alone in the hotel room for a while, and we met up there before we went to the site of the exorcism. And I said, oh, I have a reading, you know, and it was kind of funny because I had all this information, and Tony's like, when did you speak to this person? I'm like, well, I didn't speak to this person. And Plato was laughing. He goes, no, I just went out to pick up pizza, and this is what happened.
I went out to get the pizza. For some reason, we couldn't get pizza. So I went out to buy the pizza, and she just got a vision. And then Tony Spera and the other members of the team showed up at the hotel. We all kind of meet together offsite. Before we go to the client's house and talk about what our game plan is. And Sister Kia was just saying, well, yeah, it's this, and this, and this, and this. And he says, well, what did you talk to the client? Well, she didn't. I went for pizza and I came back and this is what she got. So,
yeah.
But she was bang on. She was bang on when we, you know, and I went to another, well, Sister Kia wasn't with me, but I went to another client in Toronto a few years back. And I remember going through the entire house week. And I cleansed it. I thought, okay, I'm ready to leave. And the dog, they had a family dog, and the dog went up to the one bedroom and was barking, barking, barking. The dog was actually thrown down the stairs. The legs did not touch any of the steps. It went from the top to the bottom without even touching the stairs. The dog actually, it peed itself in fear. And what it was doing, it was barking. It was riding out that the spirit that I was trying to get rid of did not leave. It had gone to one of the rooms. Mm-hmm. Again, I did not use a sensitive in that case. I did not have that person to tell me, you know, where it was. So I went in there kind of blind, thinking, okay, I'll just do the whole house. And hopefully it felt like it was done, but it wasn't. The dog actually ratted it out. And, you know, kudos to the dog, you know, for doing that. But it told me exactly, you know, the thing had not left. It went to a certain bedroom. Then I went back and I didn't leave. I went back and I concentrated on that bedroom. And sure enough, then it was gone. So again, you know, this is the reason why I use the sensitives, because they really can tell me where it is, what it's going, what it's left. I had one case where it would go from one person, and so it would leave the person and take off to a bedroom. And then it would say, oh, it's gone now. Oh, no, now it's back. And I would run upstairs to the bedroom where, okay, it's over here now. And I'm so basically playing tag with the thing. It's like running around trying to elude me. But if it wasn't for the fact that I have people like Stakia can tell me, okay, it's gone from the person. Now it's gone to the room. Now it's over here. Now I feel it in this room. Now it's gone to the basement. You know, if I didn't have those people, I'd be chasing my tail. You know, like I wouldn't know where to, you know. So it's really, really hard to concentrate on what it is, because it will leave the person. All of a sudden, it'll go back to the person that's sitting in the chair, and the eyes roll back. Okay, there it is. It's back of the person. You know, then I got to run back downstairs, and when I get down there, it's gone again. It's crazy. It's a waste of time, energy, and we don't have in this kind of day and age. I don't have the time to go to a person's house like 4 or 5, 6 days in a row. But it, like in the Roman Catholic Church, like some exorcists, they go for like months, weeks, and months. You know, even years. To a person's house to work on that person. I like my approach better. I go in, I want to know what I'm dealing with, how it got there. I want to know the story. I want to know what the family's doing, what they have been doing, what they should be doing. And a lot of times I go in, there's no Bible anywhere. There's no crucifix on the wall. They haven't gone to church. They don't bother going to church. There's a lot of things, just simple things like that, that just they let themselves open. And then maybe one of the kids just came home with an attachment, and they like to be on with the mom. The next thing you know, the mom has got an attachment. You know, it starts with an attachment, and then it becomes infiltration, and you know, an infestation, then it goes right into a possession. So you got to kind of nip it in the butt. So it's like I said, it's having these people with gifts is invaluable, and people should be using them, using these individuals. If they're not, it's crazy because it's so invaluable. I mean, for the client. It's priceless. To me, it's priceless. I would know what to do now without those people.
Yeah.
Like right now, Sister Key and all. If I didn't have them, I would know what to do. I would go in blind. I would know because I don't have that ability. I don't. You know, I'm the heavy hitter. I go in. I do the cleaning up. I'm the heavy hitter, but I need to know where I'm hitting.
But he hides behind me.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation. In part two, interesting question, can pets become possessed? What does Plato do in order to be as effective as possible when helping a person deal with the supernatural? And if Plato's not performing an exorcism on a demonic presence, what exactly is he exorcising? And are there massive amounts of people today in our society who are possessed without them even knowing it? Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.